The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at that moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe, that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
it's been a while. It's good to be back home, though. For some of you that don't know, this is where I started some 50 years ago in 1970, going to church here with my then girlfriend, Deb, and have met many wonderful people since then. In our readings today, these thoughts about Mary traveling in haste, just thinking about Mary in general, she was nothing but a child. You know, and I think of the 13, 14-year-old kids that we see at school every day, and I think, these kids don't even know what the word haste or urgency even mean, let alone to go do something like that. And I kept thinking about that, and I had this little green book, and this is going to be difficult for me. But I have this little green book here, and I'd always write my homilies in it and keep notes in it and some pictures and things like that. And when I got here and I was looking at it a couple of days ago, the last four pages are a thank you note to then Archbishop Beltran for coming here to St. Joseph and doing my son's funeral. We were at work. I remember it was a Friday evening, and I got a phone call. We couldn't find my youngest son. And finally, we found out that he was in a hospital in Oklahoma City, up at University. And I just panicked. And as a fireman for then almost 30 years, that I thought that I had been through enough that I could keep my senses about me and still do my job. I found out very quickly that was not true. So I just jumped in a truck, one of the pickup trucks out back. It was actually my son's truck that he had left there, and took off and headed for the city. And I don't think there's a race car driver on this planet that could have made it from Robinson and 36th Street to downtown Oklahoma City faster than I did that night. So I called my friend that was still at the station, my very best friend, Chuck. I said, "Chuck, I have a green book and a red book." I said, "Get my red book." And I said, "Call Rita." Some of you know Rita, some of you, everybody knows Rita. Anyway, I said, "She will know what to do. Tell her where I'm going." And by the time I had got there, I think Kathy may have had a finger or a phone call in on this, her or Mike. Her son, Father Irwin, was already there and had already given my son an anointing. And that makes me think about Mary And people think an 11, 12, 13-year-old girl, this child, why would you pick her? Well, it's just like Kathy, and it's like Rita, and it's like, I mean, I could name off dozens of you. And your hearts are so pure and you're so full of God that when God asked her to do this, there was no hesitation. If he would have asked me that, I'd have probably had to call Kathy, who I haven't called for advice since when? Yesterday? And said, Kathy, God wants me to do this. What do you think I ought to do? But there was no hesitation. Young child, 13, maybe 14 years old, the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, can you do this? You know, this is what God would like you to do. And all she had to do is say, no, I don't want to do that. And she'd have been fine. And so she accepts that. And then she makes out in haste to go all of these miles to see Elizabeth, who is probably 60 or 70 years older than she is and is expecting a child of her own. John the Baptist. And if you look at John the Baptist, he's kind of, I've always thought, looked at him as kind of the go-between, like from the Old Testament, then John the Baptist, and the New Testament. You know, he's going and telling all these people, this is the one that is coming. He is the one that's coming. This is what's going to happen. This is what he will do. I also want to tell you, I can't read my notes because I left my glasses somewhere. But, you know, Mary just goes and she shows up and she does what the Lord asked her to do. She took no gifts with her, even though now, you know, we look at that, hey, this is the Christmas season coming up and, you know, if somebody's going to expecting a child or something, we always go and we always bear gifts and we take them something. All Mary took was herself. Her gift was God that she carried within her. That was the gift. And as soon as Elizabeth heard her voice, John the Baptist leapt in her womb like, that's my Lord. That is my Lord. That is my gift right there. And soon he would be going out before him, preaching and leading the way. What was it say? Make straight the paths of the Lord. That's what John the Baptist was going to do. And that's what Mary was basically doing when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, was see how she was doing, not to find these accolades for herself, but to see how Elizabeth was. She found all of that out, and we all know the story from there. A few months later, Jesus is born. John the Baptist goes out as he gets older and lives in the desert, and he preaches about the Lord and how he's coming, and things are the prophecies that are going to be coming true and what to look for. And he would tell people, he would give them advice, you know, he'd tell the soldiers, do only your job, don't be and be happy with what you make. Tax collectors, don't take more than you're supposed to. And things like that. And preparing people for the Lord, because he says, I'm going to baptize you with water. But he is going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And I always tell people, you know, I was fortunate enough that I got all seven of my sacraments right here, right in this very spot. I had to go to the city to be ordained, but really before I could do anything, it was back here. So I've been here doing a lot of things for a long time, and I love being back here. But it was, you know, still, it was puzzling. Why such a young girl? Why not somebody a little older with a little more wisdom and a little more understanding? I mean, if Elizabeth in her old age could have a child, why would Jesus not pick someone a little older to maybe be a little more motherly and grandmotherly? But he picks the people that he wants, the people with the pure hearts. She was born pure and remained that way her whole life. So as we go on, we want to remember this season when we go and we visit our friends and our families. You know, it's not always the gifts that we take with us. It's not always the bags full of presents and things. At least I'm hoping that's what my grandkids will think this year. If they don't, oh well, that's the way it goes. But it's what we can give them of ourselves. And it's not just at Christmas. You know, so many of us just, it's an everyday thing. Christmas, it is a special day. It is the special day. Next to Easter, it's the most special day that there ever is. But if we don't do it every day, if we don't take that giving heart with us when we go visit someone and we go to their house or they come to our house or go visit them when they're sick in the hospital or something like that, if we don't do that, then we're not doing what God wants us to. Just taking them a vase full of flowers you bought downstairs in the gift shops, that's not really what they want. I've been to the hospital many times, like many of you have, and you end up visiting people that are really not even Catholics. But I think for a while at Norman, Catholic was the default setting on the what religion are you if you didn't have one. I always enjoyed that. But when you go and remember this year when you're out in the shopping frenzy and it's like a shark's in the water, somebody's thrown fish heads and stuff in there because it was ugly today at Walmart and it's not going to get any better. Remember why you're there. I'm here to do something for someone that I love. Remember the person that's working behind the counter. I'm here to do this for someone that I love. Trust me, they're not there for the fun of it. The ones that I talked to today weren't anyway. So, at the very end, I have one prayer that I would like to read here that was in my book of Christian prayer, which is about due for a replacement one of these days, and it's the evening prayer. All-powerful God, renew us by the coming feast of your Son and free us from our slavery to sin. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.